a client who I was working with over the course of many, many years. And this is somebody who had a lot of physical health problems, diabetes, kidney failure, congestive heart failure. I mean, we could be on the show all night talking about all the things wrong with this poor guy. And so I had been working with him for several years. And again, it just goes to show that there's so many complexities to the human being and so many layers to people that it takes a long time to fish out everything that's happening with the person. So I've been working on and off with this person for many years with really, you know, certain degrees of success, but no real breakthroughs, because I really believe that under the right conditions that people can really have breakthroughs. Well, when I began, again, I had received the letters from the Coast to Coast fans mm-hmm. and began discussing that with this person. Come to find out, he gave me this amazing story about the fact that he was cursed back in 1969 when him and a bunch of guys, I think they were doing acid or something, and they were all walking through a neighborhood, and they had a shared collective, call it, let's say, hallucination or vision or whatever you want to say, that they looked in the kitchen and they claim that they all saw a demon with glowing eyes who was eating someone in the kitchen.
Jeez.
And that the thing, and in the book, and people have to read it, I mean, it's just really unbelievable, but it gets into a lot of detail that I'm sure people will love, if that's what you're into. But he claims that he looked them all in the eye, and that, you know, all of them died except for him, and he attributed his whole life to this curse.
They all died but him. Shelley, let's talk about this sad case of the family who lost two kids.
Yeah, this was really disturbing. I was called out several years ago to go to Louisiana with another counselor and do an intervention for a family. They had four children, but two of them had committed suicide, very close proximity to each other.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was really grim and in really horrible ways, which I can't talk about because it's too strange. Anyway, very heavy stuff. So, you know, myself and the other counselor are meeting with each individual family member separately and working with them in the way that we do. And about the end of the second day, the daughter started opening up a little more and told me that years before and shortly before all this started really hitting the fan, that the parents had a maid who came into their home, and somehow they made the maid angry, and one night they came home and there was some voodoo underneath their pillow.
Whoa.
And the daughter claimed that after that, that's when all the stuff started happening and the kids killed themselves. And the other brother, who was alive still, but he had a life-threatening illness also and was not expected to live. And so, you know, luckily, I guess I felt lucky that I at least was able to uncover that when I did, because it's kind of like what happened with the guy Joe. I'm working with somebody for years, but if I don't know that their underlying belief after questioning and questioning, you know, is that they've been cursed, I mean, then how am I really going to help them? You know, so that she really, really believed this. And again, I mean, who am I to say? I don't really know.
What can you do if someone has cursed you? Can you just laugh about it? I mean, who's stronger, the person who throws the curse on or the person who gets it?
Well, I think, yeah, that's a good point, because
cursor or cursee?
The cursee, the receiving end, must, I believe that we operate on some kind of a higher self level. Like, consciously we're doing certain things, but at a higher level, at a soul level, let's just say that, you know, we agree to participate in certain activities and do certain things that we're doing. And so I believe personally that if someone curses me, it's because I chose on some level to be cursed. And then again, why did I choose that? Well, you know, that's when we get into maybe some therapy. Did the person need to go back into a past life and do a clearing, or was it something that happened to them when they were a little kid and we can just go in and clear it? Using hypnosis, like I said, either in the past life, is it genealogical? We could go back there. There's a very powerful process of cord cutting that I do with clients where I have people imagine that everyone that they've ever known in their entire life walks out onto a stage, and they kind of just acknowledge them and bless them on some level for the role they've had in their life. And then if there's people who need to be forgiven or who you've got a beef with or they've mad at you or whatever, then you imagine that they're walking to the front of the stage and you have this whole conversation with the people. And then we imagine this energetic cord of light coming out of your solar plexus area and attaching you to all the people on this stage. Because the truth is, we are all connected. And again, this is all quantum physics 101 now, the things that we are already really scientifically proving. But when we go through and just do this kind of cutting the cords representing, you know, not to say that we're not all still connected, but it's kind of saying, I'm releasing the past, I'm forgiving and blessing, and, you know, even if it was horrible today, guess what? Today and from this time forward is a new life,